time for an announcement.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're all jolly old elves, but from time to time, we unleash our inner demon. From 1994, we're playing Days Before Christmas, developed by Funcom and published by Sunsoft for the Sega Mega Drive and Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man that hopes for a full set of Beyblades under his Christmas tree. Mm. It's Todd Brisket.
Oh, yeah. 'Twas the days before Christmas, and all through the city, none but the sweet boys were playing a game so mediocre.
And our other co-host, he's an uptight dude whose life will be forever changed by dog ownership. It's Yule Hauser.
Through 24 levels, you'll put up a fight. Can you help save Christmas? Let's find out tonight.
Is that from the manual?
Yep. I should have said I made it up myself, but no, I cannot take credit for that prose.
Oh, I thought it was from that intro that seemed to stretch on and on.
I think it was the same. I think they put that in the intro. The whole thing. The whole
that would make sense.
Words, yeah, from the manual.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And hey, everybody, the holidays are here, but maybe you need to buy a last minute or a late makeup gift, or maybe you're going to spend that Christmas loot. Well, Amazon now has free shipping on a whole bunch of goodies for your own sweet baby boys and sweet baby girl. So please support the show by using our click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. Find out the origins of the DuckTales scale. So, was that from Home Alone?
Yes, the same song, just Todd? Right in the middle of it, where all the little kids sing.
Yeah.
No, I have a granddaughter your age.
Gee, I was really mean to my family. And of course, it would lead to the Home Alone video game, a great classic of our times.
Another thing to look for in the archive.
So this week's game is Days Before Christmas, released in 1994 by Sunsoft and only in Australia. Days Before Christmas features you playing as Santa Claus. He's attempting to rescue his elves and reindeer from an evil snowman that's kidnapped them. It's a typical platformer with a power-up twist. If Santa drinks coffee, he turns into Anti-Claus, a blue-suited demonic version of himself. I stumbled upon this game a couple weeks ago trying to find Christmas-themed games to cover, so I can start the discussion off here. I actually quite enjoyed this game. This
really?
Was, yeah, it was... You know what? We always complain on this show about these licensed games that just...
Well, is this licensed?
Who licensed this one?
I don't know.
They're licensing Santa Claus.
It's public domain.
Do they have to license? You don't have to license Santa Claus, right?
No, but it's a game based on something, like on Santa Claus.
Okay.
Like this, consider our past history with licensed games. We're lucky Santa Claus wasn't fighting Martians by using a frying pan
Or like Santa was owned by Disney and they had to pay them to make a game about it.
Yes. You know, we're always saying, oh, this is... These are licensed games based on hot IP that are inexplicably hard, or like they don't ease you into things. And this game I found to be the opposite, where this was a delightful little romp to me. Where
I mean, that's a good point, because is there a hotter IP than Christmas?
It's mm-hmm. everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's inescapable.
You turn on the radio, there's Christmas.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, this game isn't anything special. Like, it is...
I'll agree with
frankly,
that.
Frankly, Frankly, it feels like an NES game that was upscaled for like the Super Nintendo. Sega Master System is actually kind of that, but go ahead, Todd. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my summary of this game is that, you know, it's not too hard, which is great for a game like this. You know, little kids can play a game like this.
We finally played a kid's game that wasn't insanely difficult.
Yeah. Yes. But my biggest summation of this game is that it's just aggressively mediocre.
You know what?
It's right down the middle.
You know what my concept was? This is a Flash game that was put on Super Nintendo.
I mean, and speaking of the game being a licensed game, it is a reskin of the game We're Back, a Dinosaur Story.
Really?
Yeah, it's a reskin of it, and the controls are the same. You know, my biggest issue with this, since it is a platformer, is that you cannot see where you're platforming to. You can't see if you need to fall down a hole or
that
jump
is
up high.
Huge mistake number one. Huge issue number one.
And the same issue exists in the game that it was reskinned from, the We're Back, a Dinosaur Story, which I've never seen that movie. I've only seen the logo with the Tyrannosaurus Rex with his dopey grin on the front. That's all I know about that movie.
Have you heard of this? We're Back was a movie?
Yeah.
Was it not?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like a Land Before Time ripoff. That's the name of that series, right?
Showtime's for We're Back, a Dinosaur Story.
It's it's a ripoff of Land Before Time if they were encased in ice and came back to life today.
I see.
In today's times. It's about their struggle.
It's a cartoon.
In these modern times.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that movie, and I have no memory of it. So
I see a Game Boy game was made.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps more. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm glad one of the top results when Googling We're Back is Deviant Art, so I'll never click that.
Oh, no. You had a Coco Bandicoot situation on your hands here.
Immediately close
Stars
that window.
John Goodman as Rex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see?
I vaguely, slightly remember this.
Obviously, it was a quality film.
Yeah. Anyway.
I did not realize that this game was a reskin of that. You know, frankly, this game just... You're right. It is a generic or mediocre platformer. But maybe I'm just beaten down by so many other... kind of bad licensed or bad theme.
No, I agree. The non-difficulty of this game is kind of what elevates it a little bit. Like, it does not make it totally frustrating to play this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like very simple and dumb, and there's flaws, obviously, but yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great point, Steve. Just let it wash over you. It's Christmas. You're Santa. You play as Santa. When do you
Tis
do
the
that?
Season.
Yeah.
Tis the season, as they say.
You never get to play as Santa. He's got his sack.
You're always trying to save Santa and everything.
Right.
This time, Santa is out for his own.
All the time, you're just saving Santa over and over again. Now he's the hero.
Mm-hmm.
He has to save Christmas.
Yeah, you're just having a fun time. You're collecting presents. The music is jaunty little mm-hmm. Christmas ditties.
Yeah, little remixes of Christmas songs.
You know what? Speaking of public domain, they got real lucky that there's a lot of public domain Christmas songs because they got to mix them up a little bit, put some digitized MIDI tunes in there. Those are fun songs.
Yeah. And for the most part, except for the anti-clause thing, everything else kind of makes sense where it's like, oh, some snowmen have stolen your elves and your reindeer and you gotta go rescue them.
You say it makes sense, but the main bad guy in this game is a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
It is the louse mouse, I think, is the... Hold on. I'm looking out into the manual here.
Yeah, but he's not just a mouse. He's a giant mouse.
Mm-hmm. Louse the mouse, Mr. Mm-hmm. Weather, and the evil snowman are the main bad guys in this.
Yeah.
That, so I guess
vaguely plausible.
If you look back at maybe 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And so this mm-hmm. mouse is like, you know what? I'm going to stir. I'm going to cause some trouble. I'm going to steal all the presents. So maybe there's a vague connection to that old poem.
And I mean, speaking of which, they did. Speaking of old poems, the intro of the game has this long, long poem that they made. That I don't know who wrote this, but reading it, I'm no poet. I'm no poet of master of writing and telling a story or rhyming or anything. But you know, it feels like let's get the daughter of the 10-year-old daughter of the president of this video game company wants to write the story for this game.
Maybe that's what happened, and why there's just like mouses and Mr. Weather.
I feel like that might be like that the awkward wording in the rhyme.
Yeah, the awkward wording is the biggest weird thing to me.
This game was developed in Norway, so maybe there's a little bit of a translation issue there.
So I have two paragraphs here from this poem.
Please.
And I would like to read them, if you don't mind.
Oh my.
It's the last two paragraphs, stanzas. Stanzas.
Yes, stanzas.
Get your stanzas poem.
Yeah, get here your Tony Stanza on.
Here we go, folks. Go beat the evil bosses who's lurking in the dark. Find his sleigh and reindeer, set out to make a mark. Find every stolen present that was unjustly craved. For every kid in the earth, Christmas must be saved.
Wow.
Ooh.
I mean, it's like a Shakespeare type just really stuff over there.
Really sets a scene. Mm. That is different from the one in the manual. So they wrote two gigantic poems. One at the beginning.
Yeah, I took the one from the game. That one came out of the game itself.
There's a completely different one in the manual then. Wow.
Oh, nice. They're doing
a lot of work.
Double time on this.
Yeah. Well, I guess they saves time by just reskinning We're Back, A Dinosaur Tale. they had to fill their time somehow.
Well, this was worked on by a pretty small crew, so let me find the note I had on this.
The Sunsoft development crew.
Well, he said, so here's a little thing about it. The lead Mega Drive programmer of the game, Carl Henrik Skarstedt, has stated the game took about a year to develop, but he didn't start until the game was 6 months into development. He also stated that he integrated source code from the Funcom developed video game based on the film Where Back, A Dinosaur Story, into Days Before Christmas. He also said that the Super NES version had one programmer working on it, and the porting took about 6 months. So,
well,
that's probably
if you had
why
two programmers, that's what, 3 months?
3 months, yeah.
Yeah. If you have three programmers, what is that? A month and a half?
2 months?
No, I don't know. 2 months, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have four programmers,
month and a half.
Yeah. That's how that math works.
Yeah. They could have shoved this right out the door.
Get done in a week.
But I definitely. So this started as a Sega Mega Drive game, which kind of makes sense and also explains why you only use two buttons in it. There's jump button and a swing your sack button.
Oh, yeah. Swing that sack button.
Or squirt magic dust on things, which is what you do most of the time because you are mostly Santa Claus, not Anti-Claus.
Yes. Anti-Claus.
Yes.
Santa-Claus, Anti-Claus. Or is it Santa Claus and Anti-Claus?
No one will ever know. Maybe it makes more sense.
Or maybe in like in a European dialect, it rhymes.
Makes more sense in Norwegian.
Santa Claus.
Wait, it's Norwegian, not Swedish. Come on, guys.
Is there a difference?
But yeah, this. You know, this is as basic of a platformer as you can get. Although there's, you know, I like the graphics. They're fun. There's little penguins
walking
around.
It's fun. The animation, character animations are pretty swell in this. I mean, Santa himself is pretty swell. He's got a few frames of animation
very
on him
swell.
That are pretty,
very
nice.
Swell.
Yeah, this is sassy Santa. It's not old man Santa.
Yeah, this is Santa who's TCOB.
Yeah.
Taking care of business.
He does not have low T. This tea is right where it needs to be.
Oh, man. That beard ain't white for nothing.
Jesus.
But
I also like when you press down, he hides in his hat.
That was interesting.
Kind of yeah.
Yeah, and that's you can cute. You can go side to side, you can shuffle around. It's always fun.
It's
yeah.
cute. It's like something out of a Mario game there.
It mm-hmm. is. Like the Mario idle animations where you don't mm-hmm. you don't hit anything on the controller and he just starts doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun. I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah. Steve, I get your stance. It's a welcome break. It's a delightful romp. But I think just with a few tweaks, this could have been a pretty good game.
Yes. This, you know, some of them are basic. Like, just if you had maybe a selectable level select.
Well, they have like, a password system. That's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of...
Level select.
Yeah, you're kind of going through. The stages are presented as an advent calendar, I believe.
I liked that. That was fun.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know. There's not that much variety for a platformer that came out in like 1994. So
right. Yeah, it gets a little repetitive, but whatever. At least there are 24 levels for the 24 days before Christmas, but at least most of them are really short.
Yeah, some of them are. Like, I mean, one was like sure. One was like you just go right on the screen like a few hundred feet and you fall down a hole and that was like the entire level.
The second or third level, I thought I died, but you actually just went to the next level. Yeah.
I mean, cool thing about, I mean, obviously they're going 24, 25 levels with the 25 days of Christmas, but it's nice and quaint and cool to see it. The levels displayed as an advent calendar, and as soon as you beat one, it opens up a new door on the advent calendar.
Mm-hmm. We did just say that, but yes, I do. I did like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said though, this game did come out in 1994. For comparison's sake, the gold standard is probably Super Mario World. That came out in 1990 and it had 72 levels in it.
Oh my god!
And pretty much all of those levels are more developed than 4 years. Anything in this game. Yeah. So, you can see the time crunch in that too, where it's like, oh yeah, it's a gimmick of 24 levels, the 24 days leading up to Christmas probably. But they probably could have stretched out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it is 24 levels, but it's really just four different stages with different color palette swaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only got through like five or six. Like, I got to the first present dropping flying stage because I knew mm-hmm. that it was coming up after the manual. Mm-hmm. So that's really like the only different kind of level that isn't just a straight side. Well, it is a side scroller, but it's not a platformer where you're collecting mm-hmm. presents all throughout the time. And then at some point you're like, all right, time to deliver some. And you fly over the city and drop them in the chimneys. And mm-hmm. it's adorable.
It's cute. One thing I thought about is like, if this is real and this is really Santa delivering presents and he misses a chimney on your little mini game there, that kid waking up to nothing the next day, or he goes outside his house.
Yeah.
He has his little train smashed on the ground outside his house because Santa missed.
What did they call it? Maximum velocity or
terminal velocity?
Like, yeah, terminal velocity. Like when you drop something in gravity, it can't accelerate past a certain point.
Yeah, so it's wind resistance. Yeah.
That train reaches terminal velocity.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Just smashes into the ground.
Santa just keeps flying on.
Oh, yeah, those first few kids on that level that I played, they ain't getting nothing. I'll tell you that.
That part's confusing, though, because isn't the first present drop in stage like after seven or eight stages? Like, that's like December 8th. Like, what's Santa doing dropping presents?
That's true. Why is he going so early?
Got a good point there. Well, it was England. They might do things differently over there.
The time zone difference accounts for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, that's another thing is those mini games. You fly over different cities. I think the first one's England. Then you go to, like, Moscow. And there's, as you're flying through Moscow, there's Sputnik chasing you down.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
and you go to a few other cities. I didn't get a list of which cities you go to, but they're all different and unique.
Oh,
just like us humans.
Oh, I thought you meant us co-hosts, but humans works too. We're normal men. So,
yep, born the normal way.
go ahead, Yul.
I was talking about the tweaks they could make earlier. This game has three of my most hated tropes in early side scrollers. We mentioned one earlier, which was you cannot see, you're walking left or right. You cannot see far enough ahead of yourself. So enemies just pop up and run into you.
Yeah, you have to walk forward very carefully.
Yeah, so most of the time I was inching forward, just spamming that magic dust button, hoping to kill penguins or helicopters that got in my way. So that's a huge no-no. You can open other presents that are item boxes, but sometimes they release enemies or bombs. Hate that. When there's item boxes that can hurt you, sometimes they're good, but sometimes they're bad. Do not like that. Mm-hmm. And number three, tons of blind jumps in this one.
Blind jumps. That's
just like
that's
endless,
what I hate.
Endless amounts of blind jumps, especially that ice cave with the spikes the cloudy platforms.
This one, I mean, this also has one of your all-time peeves as well, but it doesn't. It's not as impactful in this game because of how you don't take much damage. It's easy to heal up again, and it doesn't knock you around too much. It does have a lot of bats and birds flying around.
Yeah, there's bats in the cave. There's like possessed toy helicopters and things like that. But they move in a very easy pattern. They just move in a circle, and you can just dust them pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But the blind jumps were killing me. I mean, luckily with the blind jumps, most of the time you're okay. But you don't know what's coming up. You're just closing your eyes and hoping for the best.
I found it a little bit less frustrating in this game versus others because the power ups tend to be more plentiful.
Lots of hats to heal yourself.
Yeah, the hats, and you also get extra Santas. In this game pretty easily. So
is this where Nintendo got the idea for Mario Odyssey, all the hats?
That has to be
pretty
it.
Sure.
There was an interview from Shigeru Miyamoto, and he was talking about Santa days or days before Christmas, and I was like, huh, that's weird. I've never heard of that. But now it's all making sense now.
Well, how about that? I just had a couple notes about where the series is now. Days Before Christmas was developed by Funcom, a Norwegian company that now specializes in online games. Their biggest hit was probably Anarchy Online, released in 2001, but they've had some other decent games like The Longest Journey, The Secret World, and one we will probably eventually play on this podcast, Disney's Pocahontas.
Ooh.
The publisher for this game is Sunsoft, whose American branch had severe financial troubles in 1994 and 1995. As a result, Days Before Christmas never got to America because it was only released in Australia and also Europe. I think the SNES version was Europe as well. Loose carts go for $130 to $300, and the box price is $400 to $500. Completely new copies fetch more than $1,000.
Ooh, collector's item.
Yes, this is a rarity
of the release.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a bit of a collector's item. Like, that's not, like, Lil Samson money, but it's up there.
I mean, what is?
I mean, the thing about that, I mean, that's actually a playable game along with this one. I think does the playability of a game have a factor into its collectability?
I think it's usually just like name versus rarity. Like, have people heard of it, and are there many copies?
Yeah. I mean, the game that always costs the most is like a, it's a competition cart from like one of those NES World Championships. I think those go for more than $10,000.
Well, those never like sold or were available to be bought.
Pretty much.
Well, they're produced in very limited quantity, like only 1,000 made or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. And it's, I don't know, there's also rare stuff that are just like, there's prototypes of all sorts of different games. And those tend to go for decent amounts too. But, you know, only like a couple $100s. You know, Earthbound Zero got out that way. So.
Mother.
Yeah, and also, if it's something of historical interest at this point, like, you know, most collectors just, you know, put it on the internet for free or donate it. Like the guy who found the working Super Nintendo CD prototype a couple years ago. So.
And the guy that ripped that Wu-Tang album.
Wasn't that the, what was it called, like Pharma Bro?
Well, that was the guy who originally bought it. And but then I believe he was arrested. And
it was repossessed
for being a giant dick.
Yeah, it was arrested and repossessed, and I think now it's just available like on Spotify or something like that.
On LimeWire.
Yes, on LimeWire and
Kazaa.
I should download that.
Kazaa and whatever the one with the bear was. I forget what that one was called.
Napster?
No, not Napster. There was another one. I can't.
Oh, the bear.
Yeah, there's one that had a bear. I don't know. I'll think of it once we log off.
sure.
But anyways. So Todd, did you find any most best for this game?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I did find, you know, I think we all think this game is middling to swell in Steve's case, but I do have a reason why. Days Before Christmas is the most best game of all time.
Wait.
Yeah. What?
We should mention that Days is spelled D-A-Z-E.
Oh, we have to. I mean, it's going to be in the title of this episode pun. They're looking at.
That's a great point. I hope everyone read the episode title. Okay, sorry.
Blaze him up, Santa.
Blaze him up, Santa 420 XX.
And Feel I do I would, have.
I'm so sorry. I interrupt. Like I feel terrible. Feel I would,
hey, it's not. I feel it's bad not
that you're. Not, you're hey, sharing someone.
It's not an episode identity. Unless we are interrupting each other and talking on top of each other. It's not a real episode.
And then yeah. Steve was trying to say something as we were talking about. Oh. As we were interrupting each other, Steve was attempting to talk.
You can. Add Huel on PSN at Blaze Em Up Santa 420.
Yes. Please don't at me.
Alrighty. Alrighty.
Yeah. It's your segment, Todd.
Here we go. This is a little bit longer than normal, but it's the only good review I could find. And it is titled, Who Thought a Game Where You Played as Santa Would Be This Fun? And it's written in September of 2006 by Classic Nigel.
Oh, and,
Classic and Nigel!
Classic Nigel.
Oi! Blaze him up, Santa!
And Nigel wrote, The good. In Days Before Christmas, you play as Santa Claus and must save Christmas from the evil snowman, the timekeeper, Louse Mouse, and Mr. Weather. It's a platformer. Santa uses magic to smite his enemies at the end of each set of stages. You play a level in which you fly and drop presents and chimneys all over the world like England and Russia. That was one sentence. The music has a very Christmassy sound with variations of songs like Jingle Bells. Since this was a late Genesis game, the graphics are really good. About 1995, I think this game is a good game to play during Christmas holidays. I've made a tradition of it. There are points in the game where you play as evil version of Santa Claus called Anti-Claus, in which you are impervious to all attacks. The bad.
Oh.
There's really nothing wrong in particular with it, unless you have no interest in playing as Santa Claus. The game may be a little too easy. None of the bosses are really a challenge, including the final boss. The bottom line. This game is a great Genesis game, although it is very hard to find. The only copy I found is the European version, and seeing how I'm American is of no use to me. 5 stars.
Wow.
It's a very confusing review.
I guess he, Nigel is an American.
Okay. We got that wrong. My fault. But I'm amazed that the only issue he could possibly see with this game is if someone doesn't want to play as Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a pretty big issue, right?
You have a real big problem. Like, man, I don't want to play as Santa. I don't like this game.
I'm just glad that didn't get racial really quick. Or
why would it?
Or slandering religions really quick. I thought that's where that was going to go.
It's a Christmas tradition.
Hey, we all know Christmas has lost its meaning.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about consumerism. It's not about our Lord and Savior.
What gifts he going to give this year, man?
Mm.
What's Hallmark going to sell you this year?
Yeah, what kind of...
Sin. That's what
it's called. Just put a price tag on it.
Yeah.
The almighty dollar. Go praise the almighty dollar.
That's my real God, man.
Well, I have a 1-star Yelp review.
Oh, no.
It's for an establishment called Fried Days. And it's...
A what now?
Fried Days. Fried Days?
Fried yes. Dates?
Days. D-A-Z-E.
T-G-I? Fried Days?
Yeah. And it's from Naomi M.
Hmm.
Of Arlington, Texas, where this establishment is located. She writes, "This place doesn't even deserve 1 star. I was with a group of about 20 people who were raiding for Pokemon. After the raid, we were going to go inside here to get drinks. I couldn't wait until after the raid, so I went inside to use the restroom with the full intent to return in about 10 minutes or less when the raid was over. The associate working didn't even give me a chance to grab a menu to take outside or to even look at the menu, for she rudely proclaimed very loudly in front of the entire store that the restaurants were for paying customers only. I informed her, that's great, because we were going to finish the raid, and the whole group was going to come back in. But now since she decided to be rude and attempt to embarrass me in front of the whole store, then none of us were going to come back in, and she just lost all of our business. Way to treat a pregnant woman. Horrible, horrible customer service. Just horrible. Don't give these people your business. Tried to contact management to get this resolved, and they couldn't even be bothered to contact me back. They clearly don't care how horrible they treat pregnant women." So,
wow. Do pregnant women deserve more respect than other people?
Classic pregnant entitlement. That's what it sounds like.
Clearly.
Oh, I have a baby in me. I should use the bathroom.
Well, she's using the bathroom for 2, Huel.
Ooh, I have to pee all the time.
I don't know. I feel like she couldn't have been that pregnant. Like, if she... What's the deal there? If you're a waitress, you see a very large pregnant lady, you're just gonna be like, "No, you still need to buy something, miss."
Before you let your baby pee out of you in our restaurant, you have to buy a basket of cheese sticks.
2 baskets of cheese sticks.
Yeah. I will say
cheese sticks of 2. Yeah.
Overall, this place is rated 4.5, and these sandwiches are making me hungry. They look ooh, pretty decent.
Man. Oh boy,
this is in Arlington. How far is that from you, Todd?
4 hours.
Oh well,
isn't everything in Texas 4 hours away?
Yeah. Well, I mean, except El Paso is about 9 hours away.
Hmm.
Oh. I'm familiar with their salsa from there.
I thought you guys said salsa up there.
Salsa. Nope.
It's more of a
salsa.
More of an Arizona thing.
Would you like some crisps and salsa? with your Taco Bell?
I think that's what classic Nigel says.
Sal's a chicken.
Was that his name? Classic Nigel.
Classic Nigel.
Classic Nigel sounds like a character from Punch-Out. Like, I feel like that's the British fancy boy you beat up in that game.
It goes Glass Joe, Classic Nigel,
Von Kaiser, Soda Popinski.
Oh, man.
Whew. Well.
We have fun.
Yeah. It's time to move on to some other regular features. Huel, what did you think of the manual in this one?
I found the manual for the Master System version, the Genesis, or Mega Drive, not Master, what am I talking about? The Mega Drive version. It's terrible. The entire thing is in blue, like text. All the screenshots are blue. The whole thing is blue. It has some really weird, like, cart handling instructions. Because usually they're like, don't put it in water, don't get it hot. But one of them is like, don't stab it.
What?
Don't cut it. Don't damage or disfigure. Do not expose to thinner benzene, etc. Do not subject to violent impact. One of them is just like a, you know, like the cartoon poison bottle with like a skull and crossbones on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has one of those with an X over it. So don't poison the cartridge. I guess they're trying to say that's very strange. So I don't know if anyone's tried that. It could be weird. So it has that poem in the beginning, which is cool, but like the rest of it is just like so simple. They're like talking about like how to play is just like one page, and it's like just pick the presents up and don't run into bad guys. Like this is a really bad manual. So I got to give it 1 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Ooh, wow.
This is one of our lowest. There we are. That is the theme song of the manual. I don't know. Maybe Norway, they just don't do manuals. I don't know.
Oof.
It's weird.
Well, I have the regular segment, the Herzog Hierarchy. And this one, the days before Christmas, is checking in at Herzog Sabin.
Yeah.
Or Herzog, wow.
Herzog 7.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Herzog 7. I always like that I know what it is before Todd does. That makes me happy.
Well, you speak fluent German, obviously, just like I
native,
do.
I'm a native speaker.
Mm.
7, that's quite a...
Yeah, I was
quite a high ranking there.
Well, my ranking scale is similar to like a video game magazine's, which basically means anything 5 and below is garbage. So
you could give this 7, like 5.5.
I enjoyed playing this. Like it's a fun little romp, as I said.
It does what it does, and it does it well.
It does what it does, and it does it.
It's just like a nice little sweet little baby boy appetizer. Like, I feel like if you were,
I know,
this would be a good game to give like a 6-year-old who really likes Santa.
It's a good intro video game. Yeah,
I would rather give them Mario and a Mario, but you know, I'm just looking at my drop machine right here. I have a lot of drops from another game. That, I mean, if you're giving this one a 7, you'd have to give this one at least a 7.
Help me find my girlfriend. Help me find the watering cans. That's a clue, kids. The watering cans.
That is a great point.
Well, that game predates the Herzog hierarchy, so we'll never
know. You can't retroactively give a score out for that one.
It also doesn't star Santa Claus.
Yeah,
that's true. I guess that counts a point by itself, right there.
Yeah. Anything.
I mean, the graphics and the atmosphere contribute, of course.
The atmosphere and the attitude.
Mm-hmm. The sass,
of course.
Whoa!
You can play a video game anywhere.
Game Boy.
Yeah. The Game Boy is the Switch of the past. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. Took us a while to realize that. It's like.
No one's ever made that connection.
You know, it's like the first time that you see Memento. And you're like,
you know what
oh
else is?
It's when you I know knew what else is the Switch of the past?
The Super Game Boy is the Switch of the past because you can plug it into your TV.
Oh, that is a great point. That might be the true Switch of the past.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Well, Todd, you've had a lot of time to think about this. What is DuckTail rating for this?
Yeah, and I have prepared, like every week, charts and graphs and everything, and I am not making this up right now. The DuckTales scale has two primary factors. Factor number one is nostalgia. Factor number two is replayability. Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game. Never even heard of it until you brought this one to us, Steve.
Great point.
So I have no nostalgia for this game. You know, Santa Claus Christmas, that's all good and well. But we're talking video games here. No nostalgia. Replayability, I guess. I mean, it's kind of replayable if I were trying to find a video game for my autistic cousin or something. I don't know. Maybe it'd be replayable.
You can use his name, Nick Weiger.
So replayable? Not for me. Not for me. Sorry. Not going to pop this one in again. So factoring those two primary factors in, I would put Days Before Christmas for the Genesis and Super Nintendo NES in at a 0.07 DuckTales.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, I thought your guess was good.
Oh, thank you. I said 0.18. I thought
that's
you
almost
might...
half.
Okay. No, but, well, maybe. I don't know. But maybe I thought you might have a little more replayability in it. I thought it was a little fun little romp. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I'd rather pick up any other platformer first besides this one.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, there's bad ones, but I'd much rather put on like Alfred Chicken again than this one.
Once a year around Christmas, you know, just pop on some babies.
If they had two programmers working on this, then your score would have almost been correct, Huel. And if they had had three... Well, that would have
been way. Then I would have been way over. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need like 2.5 programmers working on them.
That's a good point. One working half time.
Yeah. Yeah. One just coming in on weekends to check the code.
Yeah. Just like after lunch, cleaning things up. Yeah.
Make it a big full plate of taquitos and then
throw in some code. Toaster pizzas. Heat them right up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
8:15.
Morning taquitos.
Can't start my day without taquitos.
Yes. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to share about this one?
No.
All right. Huel, how about you?
I found it odd that in the present dropping level, when you drop a present in the chimney, it like puts the smoke out. So I don't know if Santa has condemned these families to freezing to death overnight.
Yeah, he's snuffing out the fire with the presents.
Yeah,
or
he's like, hey, here's a teddy bear. Also, you might freeze to death.
Yeah, and also the bear might have burnt up.
Yeah, and it's, so I thought that was odd, but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's Days Before Christmas. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Ooh, no, I did not. Sorry. Write me, folks, listeners.
Write me some letters.
Yes. That email is.
Oh,
go ahead.
Let's say, get in that Christmas spirit, the giving spirit, and give Todd some emails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That email is parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Well, Huel, did you get any emails?
I did. So, you know how most kids send letters to the North Pole? This year, I got a letter from the North Pole.
Oh.
And it says, Dear YPB, it's finally that time of year again. The day is so very close. He's going to be out of the house. 364 days, he's checking lists, brushing reindeer, ordering around elves, and just plain getting in the way. He's just here, always here. It never changes. But this day, this one day, I get to myself. I wish it was more often. I wish this holiday was every month, but this is what we get. If there was a way to get him out there more often, maybe if he was in a video game, what kind of game would you want to see Santa star in? And that's from Mrs. Claus.
Oh.
What would you like to see? I mean, we already covered the platformer. We found out that's okay. But what other kind of games?
Well, of course, Santa Claus is already the star of an adventure game, Secret of Mana. He's in that one.
Is he the star of Secret of Mana?
To some.
Some named Steven Greenwell?
I mean, it was cool to see him in it. I was like, what the hell is this?
So an RPG is your choice? That could work.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I feel like there's that the hottest of IP potential is a game with all them December idols in it. You could have your Santa Claus, your Rudolph, the Obama Snowman, Yukon Cornelius, just put them all in there and then make a game out of it somehow.
The previously mentioned Hanukkah Harry.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
What about a holiday themed Smash Brothers clone?
Oh. Wow,
yeah, you can not just Christmas time, but include like the Easter Bunny and a few other guys, Tooth Fairy.
Oh, holiday themed is in all holidays.
Okay. Yeah, holiday Smash Brothers. Oh, Todd, you just made $1 billion.
George Washington.
Yeah. George Washington.
Your President's Day.
Yeah, you know, your President's Day. Tree.
I mean, at this point, how many characters does the new Smash game have?
Oh, like 700
plus. 70 plus at launch.
7,000.
Yeah. I mean, they even got a Persona 5 characters in there, which is... And is
I don't even know what that
Snake. Is Solid Snake still in that game
he
series?
He is. Every character that's been in a game in the past is in this one.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Even the Wii Fit yoga trainer is in this.
Oh, she was in
they don't even
the
make
Wii U.
Fits anymore.
She was in the Wii U one, so she's got to be in there.
Yeah. But, oh, that means Mr. Game & Watch, of course.
Game & Watch, course. Yep.
Fantastic.
All-time great.
Is Mario in it?
Who's that?
The guy with the red hat. I think he's
Marth. From
Fire Emblem. Sorry, yeah. I said it wrong. Marth, yes, Marth is in it.
Marth debuted in Smash Brothers.
I think he was debuted in Melee.
Yeah, he debuted in those games, and then
Melee.
His game.
Oh yeah. What is that second game called?
Smash Brothers Melee.
Yeah, it tastes weird if you put it in your mouth. So Smash Brothers Melee.
An old apple.
Herzog.
Smash Brothers Old Apple. What's the GameCube one?
uh, How many different versions of Dr. Mario of Mario do they have in that game now? Like 10?
No, there's just the two. I think there's just Mario and Dr. Mario. Those are the only two. Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, Luigi's kind of a clone of them, but...
It's basically the same thing. Just sadder.
I'm surprised they still let Luigi in that game since they marginalize him everywhere else.
I think there's more Links than there are Marios.
There are, yes. Really? There's three Links.
You got Link. You got Young Link.
Young Link. You got Toon Link.
Toon Link.
And then the new craze taken off in the nation is you can customize your own character and having another Link called, you call him Lonk, and you make him all goofy looking.
That's a good one. Did you make Danky Kang?
I didn't. Oh, that's coming next.
Why did you not make that?
It's coming.
Yeah. What about?
You gotta get a Sanic in there too.
Oh,
get that Sanic. Danky Kang.
Oh. Yeah, I am envious of you, Todd. That game does look fun.
Yeah, putting the Mii in was a great revelation from the Wii version. I'm glad they've kept around.
Yeah, I just bought a couple more Joy-Cons today so that we can do even more multiplayer. It's up to 8 people multiplayer.
What?
Up to 8 people multiplayer.
It just sounds like chaos. Yeah.
You can't even tell where you are. There's so much action.
Need a big TV for that one. Oof. Good times. I actually received an email this week.
Oh.
It's from Suzette Garza. And it says, Budweiser. This holiday period, imagine what you can do with $500 weekly by just carrying our company logo on your car. Kindly click on the link for details and apply. P.S. What is your favorite logo from a game or a game series?
Whoa.
The Budweiser? From Budweiser?
Well, that's what she's offering the $500 for.
Star Wars. Mario.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Bud Light. Whoa.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Oh, who's the woman? Is that Aisha Tyler? Or
it's Cosmo.
It does sound like her.
Ah, who knows?
some woman. That's Todd likes
so the
to
coolest. Coolest logo. That's tough. I'm trying to even remember logos from games.
It's hard to, like, does the Triforce count? Because that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that can count.
Need logo, like.
Yeah, I mean, the Zelda always has some good logos going on. Mm-hmm. The little winged thing with the Triforce, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the sword with the wings.
The sword and the wings, yeah. Zelda's always got good logos going on.
It's on the shield.
Mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild is a cool logo. The whole title.
Well, that's a title, not a logo. I
mean. No. I'm saying that how they form the, you know, the font and the sword slashing through it and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I've always kind of liked the Half-Life logo.
Oh, great one!
Yeah, it's got that symbol. And Portal. Portal is a good one.
Portal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got like the guy or the logo of a person like above a portal.
That's good, and the Aperture Science logo itself is very good too.
Yes, and I don't know if Fallout, like the actual font for the series is just Fallout, like the word typed out, but the Pip-Boy or whatever that guy is called. That's just dynamite. The fact that they use it for everything.
Pip boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the better parts of Fallout 4 and Fallout 76 is just the fact that they use the animated Pip Boy for all the quests now. So it's a nice sweet little touch.
Yeah, I guess 4 is when they really started doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the mission screen. It's like, hey, time to do this now.
Yeah. Todd, did you get any asks this week?
Hmm. You know what? Somebody does need our help, and 'tis the season for this ask. So here we go. All right. And I forgot to say the phrase. Let us ask the sweet boys. So here we go. This is from an anonymous, and in all your life questions will help you out and keep you anonymous. Here we go. This one is the subject of this ask is, I'm going to break up with my GF, but should I wait until after Christmas? We have been together for 1 year and 7 months. We are supposed to be planning a civil marriage, but I am not going to go through with this marriage. To be honest, I want to break up. Now the question is, should I just go ahead, spend this Christmas with her like nothing is happening, or should I just talk to her and destroy her life on Christmas Eve? I mean, it's going to really hurt her. I really care about her feeling and what she and her family will think of me when I'm out of the picture. Now, if I stay and eat the food they give me and have fun like nothing is going on, then I feel that it may be worst because it will look as if I use them for free food or something. By the way, for those that didn't read my other question, I'm not in the States. I am in Peru, and she is the only family and friend I have. So just going somewhere else to spend the holiday is not an option for me.
Huh.
Wait, so what it's a like tale. A guy living abroad?
Yeah, so he's living
in Peru,
and he's with the only people with his fiance's family.
Yeah. Not living with that broad for long, Huel. That's what it sounds like.
So he decided to marry someone from Peru and is down there now? And they're the only people he knows, and it's almost Christmas. And he wants to cut ties with this lady.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, buddy. Well, here's the thing. If like you said, you continue through, go to their house, pretend like nothing's wrong, enjoy Christmas, eat all their food, and then break up with her, she's going to know you wanted to break up with her that entire time. Like, she's going to be like, she's going to flash back to those Christmas parties and be like, he didn't even want to be here. Like, so that kind of like retroactively ruins everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, it's going to suck for her. So I would do it sooner than later.
Oh. Mm. Well, I'm going to say, you know, sooner or later, split the difference. Wrap up a little note that says it's over and give it to her on Christmas morning.
On Christmas.
Wow.
That's a great point, because you don't have to do it before. You don't have to do it after. Yeah. Do it on Christmas.
Yeah, you can get some eat some candies, eat a couple of couple slices of turkey and ham, and then hand the present over.
Hand the
gift. A little something special
like,
for you.
Like, time for presents, and then everyone gathers around. Okay. You know, that's a good point. You get to enjoy yourself. You don't have to be alone. And then she has to be alone after that. That's a great point.
Yeah. This just sounds like bad times.
Put this note in like a ring box. Because like you don't need a very big box to hold this note.
Right, just fold it in half a couple times.
Yeah, you just you're conserving space. So
and
like,
that little slot where the ring goes is a nice holder for the folded.
Yeah, so like some paper can go right in there. It's just a good container. Then just hand that over. And then
she might be sitting down, so you might have to kneel down to give it to her.
Yeah, you don't want to make her like bend over. So yeah, that's some good advice.
Oh.
Yeah. I think we solved that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly. Leave Peru is my second note of advice.
Oh, Christ. Well, we really we really helped that person out.
Merry Christmas.
Anyways. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
No, sirree. We're going out the good old-fashioned way. Prancer and Dancer and Donder and Blitzen and Vixen and Nixon. Oh, consarn it. I get those names all mixed up, but the kids know their names.
Oh. I'm just glad you didn't do the Rudolph shtick again.
Oh, not Rudolph, the Rudolph bit. Don't do the Rudolph bit.
Huel, how about you? Anything else?
At the end of the level, Santa's bag becomes so heavy he must deliver some of the presents to lighten the load.
Oh, boy. Well, good times. Oh, that was inappropriate.
It's well, part of the manual.
Well, Todd, I think it's time for you to play us out. Play us a little snifferoo from next week's episode.
Yes. One second. Sorry. Here we go.
Here's that champagne you ordered, Mr. Simpson.
Oh, thanks. Here.
Wow, an award statue! Oh, it's a Grammy.
Hey, don't throw your garbage down here.
And that's it.
And that's it.